sanctuary for you. Singing it to him now. Lord, prepare to be your sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a living, will you? Sanctuary for you. Amen. Just to be a sanctuary for the Lord. That's our desire. If you like turning your scriptures, turn to Acts 2 and Malachi 3. I got a lot of quotations up here. I'm going to try to cover them tonight. I don't know where we'll get through it or not, but really what this message will be is, if I can finish it in one, if not it'll be two, is really to try to help other people, because we should understand basically what will be tried to said tonight, but still I believe it's needful to us to understand and maybe hear then, especially those that maybe are listening on by way of internet or something, this will help to understand some of the things we say and all. And so, you know, it's what I'm trying to do is to get everything in order. Now, the Lord willing, Brother Aaron, you're going to be here next Wednesday? All right. Next Wednesday, Brother Aaron will be preaching for you. And the Sunday following, which will be the week, not this coming Sunday, but the next one, Wade will be taking the services on that, because we're going up to Monday. The Lord willing, we're going up to be with Brother Richard and Sister Janice and them for a few days vacation there at Pigeon Forge, and then go on up with them for the weekend, and to try to be there on the weekend with Brother Wilson and them. So just, you know, just remember, he said that Brother Tim Calhoun, keep praying for him, but he is doing better. He was at church Sunday or Wednesday or one of the three. Anyhow, he's doing better, said he's eating like everything, and so that's good, you know, to get his energy back. So just keep praying for him that the Lord would take care of everything, you know, and we appreciate him. Amen. Acts 2 and Malachi 3. Father, we thank you for thy word. And to just read thy word tonight would be worthy enough to come. The travel, the distance that has been done tonight, the people traveling, it would be worth it to just read thy word. Surely we could read a whole lot more if we had stayed home, but yet we come together under the canopy of thy fellowship, to where we fellowship with brothers and sisters of like precious faith. And we pray that you would just have your way with each one of us and just lead us in thine understanding and keep us in thy love. And Father, forgive our sins, because we know we fail you constantly and we want to be clean in your sight. Come tonight and speak to our hearts and lead us in Jesus' name. Amen. I know you've already done, but remember Lisa will be having an operation in the morning. We appreciate the Lord being with Sister Peggy there and coming through everything in hers, and got a good report that everything's better than it was the last time. So we appreciate God for that. That means a lot. You know, when a doctor tells you you're better this time than you was the last time, you're better, you know, because they don't say those things, but we appreciate it. Acts 2. Now, if I can get far enough, I want to go on into what we're talking about, but Acts 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there was dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in his own tongue, wherein we were born. Now, those are very familiar scriptures. Turn to Malachi 3 with us, because we know that the prophet explaining it, like, see, people say, oh, they spake in tongues. He said that they received the Holy Ghost in the upper room, and that's 120, and they're downstairs when they're speaking in tongues, what is called by people, but they were speaking in a language, and the mystery was not in the basis of the speaking, but it was in the basis of the hearing. How hear we ever man in our own tongue? See, all right? So then people said, well, now the evidence of the Holy Ghost is speaking in tongues. That's not even scriptural, because there's no part saying there, because they received the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues. They received the Holy Ghost in the upper room. Downstairs, outside, is when they heard them in their own language and begin to bring the message to them. So now remember that point of what I'm talking about. So it's always been, receive the Holy Ghost first, then things happen as an evidence or a sign or whatever you need. But get the Holy Ghost first, all right? Then you get the other, because it's and in conjunction. All right, now, then if that be true, then watch this scripture, Malachi 3:6, for I am the Lord, I change not, therefore your sons of Jacob are not consumed. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now, if he changed, then the sons of Jacob would have been consumed. So just take this one, and if we go far enough, then we'll get this one. If we don't, we'll hold this until Sunday. Yeah. So just take that one of those two, and we're going to try to get over far enough. If we do, we'll give out the others. But, you know, we're going to try to get on to something if we can. See, if God changes, then the sons of Jacob better worry. Now, let me say this, and then we'll get on to the message. Now, who are the sons of Jacob? See? All right. We, humanly speaking, by the flesh, can be called the sons of Jacob, because Jacob was a shyster, a tripper-upper, a deceiver, and that's what we all were and still are unless we're born again. All right? So then that's why it's saying, see, if God changes, then we got trouble. But as long as he don't change, we find the right channel, we follow the channel. The prophet said if he ever saved one man by the blood, said then every person has got to be saved by the blood. See, you know, all right, if he ever saved anybody by faith, all we got to do is reach that faith and we can be born again. And see, that wouldn't be any problem then, would it? Because God changes not. And see, then Hebrews 13:8 would be true, wouldn't it? That he's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So whatever he done the first time, he's got to keep on doing. Because if not, he changes. Now remember, we change. Remember, the church down through time has changed. But God doesn't change. All right? And that way we can depend upon the promises in his word. All right. Now, to some that were not here of the last couple of messages, and I'll try to review just a little bit, but we've been talking about, this is number 13 on faith, and we've been talking about that the new birth is the birth of the Word. All right? Now, it has always been the birth of the Word. It didn't matter what age you lived in. It's always been the birth of the word of that age. That is the new birth. See, you had to believe the message of Luther, of the just shall live by faith. They may never have heard Luther. Now, you understand what I'm saying? See, people say, well, maybe some people never heard. Well, just don't be silly. But somebody preached justification to them, and they got born again. See, and that was the new birth of that age. All right. And I gave you one at the last on the quotations on one of these, to where that Brother Branham talks about the new birth of Wesley. See, people say, oh, they didn't get the new birth back there. Wesley got the new birth of sanctification, and so did everybody in the days of Wesley. That was the new birth. All right? Now, and then that will tie together with every scripture in the Bible, excuse me, that Jesus sowed the seed of the word. His word is his seed, and he sowed that in the hearts of the disciples. And they that took that word and held on to it or kept the word, as in the parables it said, then the Holy Ghost could fall on the day of Pentecost. All right. So then you had him even showing himself to as many as 500 brethren after the resurrection, but only 120 made it to the upper room. So evidently the other 380 didn't hold on to the word. That's just as honest as I can say. Because why didn't they go to the upper room? But only those in the upper room that were ordained to be there were there. And Brother Brown said, your people of the Catholic believing Mary to be the mother of God and all, said she had to go up to the upper room to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost before she ever had eternal life. All right, now you can confess and believe unto, that's fine. You're believing unto. But you're not born again until you receive the life of Jesus Christ coming into you. And that is the birth of the Word of the age that you're living in. Because God is the Word, right? Now, if He's the Word, what kind of children will He have? Dogs don't beget dogs. Cats. Cats don't beget dogs. Dogs beget dogs. Cats beget cats. The Word of God begets children into the kingdom. That's why the seed had to come through the body. You remember there in the book of Acts, they couldn't get the Holy Ghost to come upon the people. They sent for, I believe it was, who was it, Peter and John, or one of them, sent for them, and they came down and just spoke a little bit to them and laid hands on them and received the Holy Ghost. Because it comes through the body. It's got to be lined up correctly. That's why God cannot, the prophet said, we don't have too many genuine new births. Why? Because they don't hold the word valuable. See, how could God quicken a trinity? The new birth can't be the birth of a trinity, but it's the birth of the Word. All right? The days of Luther, it was the just shall live by faith. See? Wesley, it was sanctification. Coming along then with, like the Baptists, bringing back immersions and things like that. Your Presbyterian bringing back a form of governmental forms, you know. Bringing it back into the church. Then coming along with your pilgrim holiness and your different one. Then come on with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See? Not just speaking in tongues, but the restoration of the gifts. Then the word is to be brought in the last days, or was by the prophet. And we must be birthed out of the age of Laodicea into the bride age by the birth of the word. All right. See, now you may have heard and received the Holy Ghost before you come into the message. That's wonderful. That's fine. But still, if the proof that you were right is, you know, that you were saved, is you did come into the message. You can't turn down the word of your age and claim the new birth. That's what the prophet said they want to do. He said they want to hold on to the old organizational system and claim the new birth. When you look at the people of this message, what do? All kind of doctrines that are identical doctrines to the old doctrines of, the denominational systems, just called it under a different name and claimed the message of the hour. But see, it's the birth of the Word. It's always been the birth of the Word. All right? Now, listen to what I'm saying, and I'll repeat this again. It was not the Holy Spirit that was eaten down during the dark ages and things. It was the Word that was eaten down. My wife likes for me to say that because we were talking one day and she started talking about that and it really dwelled in me, you know, to think about it. All right? So then there you've got it as it comes down. The Word is what's to be restored, not the Holy Spirit. But now, so you say, but now wait a minute, Brother Dale, they just had a little bit of this. You argue all you want to about little bits of this or a little bit of that. Luther's justification put him in the body of Jesus Christ. And to do that, he had to be born again to get in the body. But in his day, the born-again experience was the message of justification. He didn't have to go through the sections or stations a prophet said that we go through. We go through three, the justification, sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. All right? But in Wesley's day, it was only two. See, I can be glad to show you later about it, but he said, you don't call them works, because it's not works. It's not three works of grace. It's grace extended unto you for salvation that is not works. All right? But see, then here we come along and we claim the new birth of the age, but yet deny the message. Where does that put the Pentecostal people of this day? Are the ones in this message? Because if we deny the word, I want to get onto that Sunday, where are we at? All right. But now watch. See, then the new birth has always been the same in each age. And if we have time to get to with it, the true evidence has always been the same in each age. But Brother Dale, they done this here, they done that there. The true evidence has been the same in every age. So let's start reading a little bit. Let's see what the prophet had to say, and that's the reason I'm bringing these to where that we can, you know, people on the internets and all like that can pick it up and follow after it and see that we're not trying to say something different. All right? Let's start off reading what the prophet said on page 143 of the Church Age book. He said, in every age, and they put it in parentheses now, and every age is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer. I say, in every age, the evidence was the same. Now, we're dealing with evidence, but I we'll get to it in a minute of what where he doesn't change and things like that, but I want you to get this. In every age, it is the age of the Holy Ghost for the true believer. So that'll be what we're dealing with tonight, but now he goes on to say, and in every age, the evidence was the same. Those who had the Spirit, the teacher, heard the word, and that Spirit in them took the word and taught it, revealed it to them, that they were of the group that heard the messenger and his message and took it and lived it. All right. Now, so what is it? God never changes. We change, but he doesn't change. The message works. We would see Jesus, because, see, they can read it off the internet. Brother Brown says that we change, time changes, but God never changes. What he does the first time, he does every time. He never changes. We can change, but he never changes. All right, watch the next one. Why little Bethlehem? That one is awful. We would see Jesus. You read these and just see. All right? He says, time changes, men changes, system changes, but God never changes. He ever remains the same. Then he goes through the Old Testament dealing in, and he said he hides himself and things like that. So we find that God never changes in his nature, and he's always doing his work the same. We find out in Malachi 3 that he said, I am God and I change not. So he works in the same principle all the time. Now, Hebrews 13:8. See, would stop us if God changes. But he doesn't change. It's always the same. So go on reading that. This is paragraph 63 of page 63 of the Church Age book. The key given me of the Lord whereby I was able to determine the messenger for each age is a most scriptural one. In fact, it might be called the keystone of the Bible. It is the revelation that God never changes. And that his ways are as unchangeable as he is. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, forever. Ecclesiastes 3:14 and 15, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that man should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God required that which is past. Here it is, an unchanging God with unchanging ways. What he did at the first, he will have to keep on doing until it is done for the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages, the kind of man that God chose for the first age, and how God manifested in that man's ministry would be the example of all for all other ages. What God did in the first church age is what he wants to do in all other ages. Now, so he said what he done, what he wants to do. Now remember in the book of Revelation that it says one standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. See? Now, don't put that like your carnal interpretation that he's in the midst. You know, understand it. If you do, then you've got a problem with not agreeing that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever with what I'm trying to bring. Because if you tried to put him in the midst, you'd have him more greater in the middle than you have him on each end. So then your theory would go out the door that he changed down through there and that the Holy Ghost would be different. See, you couldn't say what I did a while ago when I said that it's always been the Spirit, never age, because that's the seven spirits of God. The book of Revelation, sent forth. So it's the Holy Ghost in every age. We'll read some of that as we go along. See, it's always been the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Ghost in every age. It was the Word that was ate down, Joel says. The Word was what went into the ground. Not the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit could only work in the amount of Word that the people had. So in the days of Martin Luther, he could only work through the part of the just shall live by faith. He couldn't speak of the seals and the trumpets and the vials and the plagues. And no doubt Luther preached a lot of that. But yet that was not made alive back in that time, because it was not time for it. But the Holy Spirit is the same. There's one in here in a minute. There's somewhere where Brother Brown said the same Holy Ghost. It's number 9 on your notes. What the Holy Ghost was given for, 1959-12-17. Same Holy Spirit that saved the Lutherans, that sanctified the Methodists, that baptized the Pentecostals, is now setting in order the coming of the Lord Jesus, when it will be so powerful that body will come into this group of church that will draw the rest of them from the dead. There will be a resurrection. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. Then he goes on talking about they without us cannot be made perfect. See, it's the same Holy Ghost that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist. Just remember what happened in that age was that they only had the amount of Word that could be made alive for the age. And that way the Holy Spirit could only work according to what they had. Heard great men in this message. Now, I don't throw no stones, but one came right here and stood up here and said them Azusa Street Pentecostals was false. And he's saying Brother Branham said it. Well, I had done approached him down at Gillsville at a supper we were having and gave him the quotations from Brother Branham that the Azusa Street Pentecostals were the genuine baptism of the Holy Ghost, just exactly like the book of Acts. Of course, that didn't change him. Of course, he didn't believe he could preach error. I ain't arguing about it. I'm just telling you what happened. But to get you to understand, we can get our own mental concept, and then we can theorize things or do as I tried to get you on there where we reason things out, you know, and we come up with some kind of a false evidence that has no foundation, but yet we claim it's the truth. But God's Word is truth. Get the Word correct. It's always been the Holy Ghost that gave birth. And it's always been the birth of the Word. That's always been that way. It hasn't changed. Man changed, our thoughts changed, but God never changed. And as I read there, what the prophet, he said what he done in the first day, he wanted to do in every age. But what caused him to where he couldn't do it was because of the people of that age and their understanding of the Word. And there's Martin Luther that all he ever done was studied the Word. But yet what did he have? He had the Catholic dogma understanding of the Scriptures. He won't be offended for me when I get there one day and say, Luther, I said that about you one day. He said, you're right. But Brother Brown said if Luther was here today to prove he had the Holy Spirit, he said he'd believe this message if he was here now. Because he had the Holy Spirit, but it just couldn't work because of the amount of Word that they would have had, because that was what was ate down. But the Holy Ghost has been the same in every age. Now watch, let's get to it now. Number 6 on your notes, the seven church ages, preached in 1954-05-12. And these seven church ages begin with Ephesus and Tyre and Pergamos and on through, and the Holy Spirit, which is the oil of God, fell on the church at the beginning in Ephesus, the Ephesian church, which was the church of grace. You Baptists ought to holler amen there. And then on the Church of Grace, which in Ephesus, letter sets us out who we was before the foundation of the world. It fell there, and they received the Holy Spirit. But wait a minute, my Baptist brother. How did they receive it? How did they get it? By joining the church? Never. They got it by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You say, yes, Brother Branham, that's right. What happened to you when it fell on you? Now, he's asking. Notice the same fire that burnt the oil there in Ephesus burned it in Thyatira, which they just put Tyre on there. The same fire burnt there, burnt in Pergamos, burnt on down through to the Laodicean church age. The same Holy Spirit lit by the same God, by the same fire, and the fire that fell on Pentecost has lit the candle, the church, through every age, right on down now. They didn't change the oil in the church ages, you know. In other words, it wasn't oil up to so far, and then it become water, and then it become oil. That's what I'm saying. See, people try to make some kind of a concept in their mind of something when the Bible said he was in the midst. So if you were going to just go natural, that would put him in the middle church ages stronger than in the beginning and the end. And they'd say, oh no, that wasn't right. Well, that's what the Bible says. But midst means middle. In other words, he's in the middle of every church age. God was just as real in the days of Martin Luther as he was on the day of Pentecost. Because God never changed. But people changed. And their thought of the Word changed. Their understanding changed. God had to wink at their ignorance until it would come on down. Right. Watch him now. I have the same message. Paragraph 271. Oh, my dear brother, my dear sister, to him that's able to keep you from falling, to him that's able to hold your heart in grace, may he shed his blessing upon you. May you never forget that we're living in the last days of the last church age, where it's predicted to be a lukewarm church age, just half-hearted about it, and stop being half-hearted, really come to Christ with all your heart. I ain't telling you what church to join. That don't have, God will never ask you that in the judgment. No, sir, he don't care what church you belong. He wants you, it's an individual, you must be born again and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit or you're gone, see? And you're just playing church. You're just impersonating until you actually have an experience of being born again. And now, him that stood there and the seven golden candlesticks through the seven church ages, and the same Holy Spirit that lit the church there lights it over here. It's the same Holy Ghost in each church age. That's why it says that there are seven spirits of God. There's not seven spirits of God. It's God manifesting himself through seven men and seven church ages. But the oil is coming from the same of all of it running through the lamp. That's what I don't understand, people. They come up with some kind of a concept, you know, or a thought, and they try to make it fit somewhere, and it won't fit. Because if he's Hebrews 13:8, where's he at? If he never changes, where's he at, as Malachi 3 said? But we change. That's what I'm trying to get me and you to do, is to change. Because that's what we got to do. We got to ask God for a revelation. And asking God for a revelation, see, then we can come out with a truth that'll fit the entire Bible. And if what we believe don't fit the Bible, what good is it? But come and show me where I'm off the Scripture to say that the same Holy Ghost in every church age has been the same. And I'll say it again, where did anybody listening? It was the Word that was ate down. Not the Holy Spirit. But the Holy Spirit can only work in you in the amount of words you have. All right? But look at the next one. E10 of our hope in God, precinct 51. Now what? 0929. The Holy Spirit was upon the church at Pentecost. Come right down through the age, and right on down through the age to the Lutheran, the Baptist, Methodist, and on down through and into this age here. It's still the same Holy Spirit. When people's faith gets up into a place, they'll get the blessing to realize it's there. Then the same operation of the Spirit will be operating in the church just like it did back there, just the same. Now, I cut part of that off on the bottom of it, but you go check it and see if it fits any different. It's just a wording that I cut off. But listen, go on down while we're reading, which is page 91, Church Age book. No, excuse me. Sardis and Church Age, paragraph 91, which preached 1960, 1209. And Jesus was anointed with the Holy Ghost, went about doing good. Is that right? And the same Holy Spirit was upon Jesus, come right back into the church on the day of Pentecost, comes right back into the next stage, the next stage, the next stage. And what is it? The same and one self Holy Spirit. Oh, don't you see God above us in the Father, God with us in the Son, God in us in the Holy Ghost? It's three offices, not three gods. See, those three titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, belong to that one name, Jesus Christ. All right? Now, what's he saying? Same Holy Spirit. Paragraph 99 of the same message, that was 91, this is paragraph 99. Then if that was Christ's Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost and did those things, is Christ's Holy Spirit been pushed out here? Christ's Holy Spirit still holding in here? Christ's Holy Spirit still holding here, on down here, and to the end of the world? The same Holy Spirit that filled Paul with the Holy Ghost and the things that he done will fill this one, Irenaeus, full of the Holy Ghost. Fill Martin, full of the Holy Ghost. Fill the rest of them, full of the Holy Ghost. And it fills you and I, full of the Holy Ghost. And it's a Pentecostal blessing from one church age to the other. Alpha and Omega, end and the beginning. The end and the beginning. And all, root and offspring of David. Morning Star, Rose of Sharon, Lily of the Valley. Whatever more, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. He that was, which is, and shall come, the Alpha and Omega, all in all, oh my, that would make me sing a song. What is it? It's the same Holy Spirit in every church age. Amen. Well, see, that's hard for people, because I know I've dealt with people about trying to get them to see it. But it's hard for people to see that it's the Holy Spirit in every church age. They want to put something here, put some kind of, like that man did here, he said, Azusa Street was false. In other words, that makes some kind of a false thing. And then you and I are trying to come back. You know, I mean, I don't get it, folks. See, the reason I don't get it is because it don't fit the Word. Listen. See, that was back in 1960. Watch him come on up. Revelation chapter 4, part 3, number 12 on your notes. Throne of Mercy, 61:0-108. He's talking about the voices and the voices of the seven trumpets. There were voices of seven star, seven messengers, but now watch here. And the seven lamps before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Seven lamps. Let's draw a little bit here. The throne, the holy place, the congregation. Right here was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seven stars, seven lamps, seven messengers, seven spirits. Not altogether meaning that God's in seven spirits, but seven manifestations of the Holy Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit? Here at the throne, shining out in each church age. This church age is reflecting back this way. The voices of God, Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, today, and forever, the seven. There was voices and seven lamps on fire, seven spirits, which are the seven spirits of God. See, how much plainer could anybody get? But yet the ministers in this message will take a concept of something and preach it to the people and deceive them into thinking that this church age had this, that church age was here, this didn't have nothing, that didn't have nothing. We got Alpha and, I've heard sermon, Alpha and Omega and nothing in between. And that's a direct quote the prophet made. But he also made another one where he said he's Alpha and Omega and all in between. Well, he was right in one place, wrong the other one. I guess that's what people say, you know. That's why the prophet told us to go back to the Bible. The Bible has always been right. It's our concept that was wrong. That's what caused us to be in such a confusion as it is, and still today. What's the next one? Sign of this time. This is getting up 63. 11:13. Now we left the Pentecostal age. Now we're coming to where, like in the pyramid, not pyramid doctrines now, but I mean like as the pyramid, the headstone, when it comes to fit, it's got to be honed. There's got to be a ministry in the church, the true church of the living God, to where when the headstone comes, Christ or the ministry of Christ, and Christ will fit right in together perfectly. Then that brings back the redeemed to take the whole house of God to glory. The Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian through the Great Reformation ages that come out and gave their lives in persecutions and things for the kingdom of God. But that stone is coming. Yes, sir, it certainly will. God will send it. It'll fit all the building together upon it. Now we see these signs as we see the ministry from Christ beginning to narrow up now to the complete ministry of Christ in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Under Luther, it was, and watch, under Luther, it was the same Holy Spirit, justification, then sanctification under Wesley, the messages, then the Baptist, and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, making three, not three steps of grace, but stations, I might call it. All right. Let's just keep reading. E-122, confirmation of a commission, 62-122. Now the Bible says, now the ministers will witness this, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is a high priest right now that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. Is that true? A high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities. He is right now. Well then, if he is a high priest that can be touched by the feeling of our infirmities, how would that high priest act when he was touched? If he's the same Jesus that he was back there, he'd act the same way. He can't change his ways. He can't. If he said back there, I'll save them because of that they believed on me, but today I'm going to save them because they got money, he can't do that. He's got to ever remain with his first attitude. See, when God ever makes a decision, it's perfect. It can never be changed no more. God never changes his program. That's why the prophet said, you know, he said, I taught three processes from the beginning. All right. Now he goes over on the back and he starts explaining the one that'll give you. And this is where that I was telling you about the seven spirits, 248 Church Age book. To begin with, we now know for a certainty that these verses are not teaching a new and contrary doctrine to John 4:24, which is a one spirit. But this is like 1 Corinthians 12:8-11, wherein we find one spirit manifesting himself in nine ways. Now that's the fruits of the Spirit, right? Thus we know that the seven spirits of God mean it is the one and self-same spirit coming forth in a sevenfold way. Right. See, then the new birth has always been the same. The Holy Ghost is the new birth. That's the birth of the Word. See, and there was never an age that didn't have the birth of the Word of the age that they lived in. But I say again, because that's where people don't understand. It was not the Word. The Word was what was eat down. But the Spirit was not ate down. The Spirit of God was there to manifest Himself through those messengers and through the people of the age. But it's like we all want to do the combat beast, you know, the lion, the ox, the man, the eagle. We say, yeah, that lion's that as early church as it went out. That was that early church and come down through there about three or four ages. Boy, we can lay that down. And then we can say the man, yeah, I mean the ox, we can say, well, that was that early church. You know, that gave their life for the gospel, and we make it in the church form. Then we come to the man, and then we say, yeah, that's where it was, and they started the printing presses and the book form and the doing this and doing that. And, oh, look at all of them people being that combat beast. Then when you get to the eagle, Brother Brown was the eagle. Brother Brown was the eagle. Brother Brown said he made way for the eagles. The spirit of the age is not Brother Branham as one eagle. The spirit of this age is the bride of Jesus Christ as little eaglets, little messiahettes. with the same Holy Spirit that the prophet had. But not gifts and signs as he did, but I believe it's in the body of Christ. I believe all that was in Brother Branham in the signs and wonders is in the body of Jesus Christ. But it's in a many-membered body. I believe all the ministry of the Lord Jesus, as we were just reading, the ministry he had is in the bride of Jesus Christ today. But see, then you leave out Luther and Wesley and you don't give them the Holy Spirit or something like that, then you wind up, you don't have your fullness of the Godhead. You don't have the truth of the Word of God. You have only men's ideas and concepts. But see, if he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, then he can never change. And by never changing, the new birth has always been the same. It's the birth of the Word. Most of you, you don't understand why I emphasize that so hard. I've been preaching now for over 30 years about the birth of the Word to try to get the bride of Christ to see it. That it's the birth of the Word. But see, what everybody wants to do, well, how could you birth Luther's denominational? I ain't talking about birthing Luther's denominational thought. It was not Luther's Trinitarian concept that was birthed during his day. It was the just shall live by faith. That was what was birthed. What was birthed was the message of the hour that was given unto the people through Martin Luther of the just shall live by faith. And God was just as pleased to be there as he is to be here. That's why it says in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. See? Why? Because then you go down to the oil and the pipes and the thing. It's the same oil for each church age. The same Holy Ghost in every age. But see, people don't believe it that way. They believe it changed here, it changed there. Of course, they're the ones that can tell you where it changed. But they can't show where Brother Branham said it changed. But I'm sorry for the poor old people that listen to them because they're caught under that system of doing and that what hopes do they have? That's why I finally turned loose and said, put it out there. At least maybe somebody can hear and decide for themselves. Because they're sitting under a bunch of preachers that's preaching error. And they're all, glory, hallelujah, we're ready for a rapture. But someday, somebody is going to come to a place that Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, can be revealed to them the way that it truly is. And they will make that manifest. And it'll be the Word that you make manifest. It won't be something else. It won't be just man's ideas. It'd be the Holy Spirit manifesting himself through the bride of Jesus Christ down through time. Being to the basis that we can say that he's the same. If you change him anywhere, he's not the same. But he's always been the same. And the Holy Ghost has always been the same. The new birth has always been the same. For every age, the new birth is the same. Yes, but Brother Dale, I've been taught that speaking in tongues is the Holy Ghost. Yeah, that's where you've been taught a fallacy. The gifts was the birth of the Word on Azusa Street. That was what was birthed, the gifts. Being the part of Almighty God and the restoration of one God coming back. Lining up with the Scriptures to where the oneness could start bringing in the name of Jesus. The Word began to be restored. Martin Luther only had the message of the just shall live by faith. But John Wesley and him, it was required more words, sanctification, the planting of the seed. So that's what Jesus was talking about. The planting of the seed. But then the Azusa Street was the birth of the age of the gifts and the name of Jesus coming back to the church. Then it went on into the oneness doctrine, and out of the oneness doctrine it came on to many different groups slinging off, and then it came down to where the prophet began to bring the message of this age that you and I are living in. He had to do a work of restoration from 33 to 63, restoring back the original word, our faith of the fathers. But then in 1963, the seals broke to the prophet, and that's where his message begun. And you and I have got to be birthed by that. But what does the people want? They don't want the seals. They say, we can't understand that. One of these days, a prophet will come back, and he'll tell us all about that. Well, amen if he does, but what if he don't? Oh, you're an unbeliever. Well, we'll get to it Sunday to see where I'm an unbeliever or not. We'll see what really is being unbelief. We'll find out what unbelief really is. But listen, church, let's just go on. Right? We got enough time. Come on, give these out. We got enough time to cover it. Because listen, it's been the Holy Ghost in every age. While the brothers is giving these out, it's been the Holy Ghost in every age. That's the new birth, which is the birth of the Word. And the evidence of the Holy Ghost has always been the same. Now, we read the quotes from the prophet that it was the Holy Ghost in every age. Let's read some quotes from the prophet that the evidence of the Holy Ghost has always been the same. Now, if we can read it from him, at least you ought to be able to believe it. But brother so-and-so, if it's Samuel Dale or who it is, get them out of the way and get down to what the prophet had to say. Get down to the word of the hour that we believe that. But I just don't know, because brother so-and-so is such a good brother. Good brothers, that's fine. But hell's going to be full of good brothers and a few sisters. Okay. Get you to life a little bit. The reason I say that, I don't believe there'd be as many sisters in hell as there are brothers. You know why? Because the brothers is responsible for the sisters, but the sisters ain't responsible for the brothers. So now, brothers, your wife comes up and tells you that she don't agree with Brother Dale. You bring her to Brother Dale. But now, sisters, if your husband comes and says you don't agree with Brother Dale, you bring him to Brother Dale. Right. And let's see what's going on to see whether it's the Word or not. See the truth of what it is. Now, Brother Branham taught, and I think I gave one in here where, just to make sure. But Brother Branham taught that the evidence of the Holy Ghost down through there, he taught that it was the fruits of the Spirit. You'll find those quotations. Because that's kind of what he believed. Then he taught the evidence was love. And he said that was about the closest one that he had come to, that it was love. All right. But then the Holy Spirit straightened him out. And what did he say it was? Now remember what I'm saying, the same Holy Ghost in every church age and the same evidence in every church age. There's not an evidence for the first church age and an evidence different for the second age or fifth age or any age. So we read it, we made the statement in the beginning that Brother Branham flatly covered, and if you want them, be glad to do it, where he covered that on the day of Pentecost that they were in the upper room and the Holy Spirit came as little licks of fire and set upon each one of them. And then they went downstairs where the 3,000 were. And as they got downstairs, then they were speaking in a language. But the Holy Ghost came in the upper room. Now, I'm sure they were having a glorious time in the upper room. But the Bible divides it, and the prophet did, to where that it makes it right to the T of the letter of the word. I don't think they're sitting up in the upper rooms, that Peter said. I think the Holy Ghost failed, don't you, John? Well, Mary? Maybe this is what... No. They were having a rejoicing time upstairs. They probably were speaking in tongues like everything. But the Bible doesn't say it that way. The Bible said they received the Holy Ghost and spake in tongues. And there is the difference between no telling how long they was in the upper room and then when you come downstairs. Then those people heard them in their own tongue. You get it right. Then that way you ain't got something coming along. Well, I spoke in tongues. I know I got the Holy Ghost. But just remember, the prophet said he'd seen devils speak in tongues, write with pencil, and tell the truth. He did. But you see, I want the one evidence that Satan can't impersonate. Because he, now listen, he cannot impersonate. He can impersonate the gifts, the feelings, the thing, but he cannot impersonate the opening of the Word. That's why I'm so happy to believe that the new birth is the birth of the Word. Because if I'm born by the Word, he doesn't put one cell, he said, of the Word on us and then put a dog on top of that. It's Word all the way. It's been Word from the beginning. It's a Word never, church age. That's why it says being born again. Something going on. By what? By the incorruptible Word of God. Not by our ideas and thoughts, but by the Word of God. And see, then the evidence has always been the same. It's those who heard the Word, and it was quickened unto them. That's what I've been on faith for so long. Now, we've done read these, but I'm just trying to put it together. Look at the first one I gave you there on broken cistern. Now, they put on numbers on these, so bear with me. Today, I was talking with my good friend, Dr. Lee Vail, who's president now, and he's quite a theologian. And so we usually have some pretty good discussions on the Scripture. Very smart. And he asked me one time what I thought about the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost. Was it speaking in tongues? It's been many years ago. I said, no, can't see that. He said, neither do I. Said, though, I've been taught that. He said, what would you think would be an evidence? I said, the most perfect evidence I can think of is love. So we got to talking on that. And then I thought, that sounded pretty good. So I just held that. If a man's got love, but one day the Lord in a vision straightened me out, and he said that the evidence of the Spirit was those who could receive the Word, neither love nor speaking in tongues, but it's receiving the Word. Now, there's every age. It's receiving the Word. The days of Martin Luther, what was the evidence? Not you carrying a cross and walking out of the Catholic Church, or crying, or shouting, or that's after the baby gets here. That's what people can't understand. Babies don't cry in the womb. It's when they get out and you spank them. Life comes in, and when life comes in, they scream out. Most of the time, I guess it is speaking in tongues, the little fella, because he ain't never done it, and you don't know what he's saying. But listen, church, the evidence has always been the same then. The Holy Ghost has always been. The new birth has always been the same, the birth of the Word. And the evidence is whether or not the Spirit in you agrees with the Word. Now, it keeps on. Anointed ones will agree to a certain degree. Anointed ones will receive the Word to a certain degree. But Brother Brown said there's one thing that Satan can't be. He said he can't be the Holy Ghost. He said he can impersonate any gift you got, but he said he can't be the Holy Ghost. And another thing, he said he can't bring the word by word. He said he'll go off every time. All right. Now, if it's not according to the Bible, then where are we? You see, where I stand preaching to a group of people, that I'll be responsible at judgment, that if I haven't preached the truth to you, you could go in and I would miss it because I haven't told you all the truth. And irregardless of your feelings or what you think about me, I'm going to try to tell the truth. Why? Because my whole life is at stake on this. It's not just trying to get you to glory. It's whether or not I'm going to glory. That's why I'm hard. I know it. I know I'm hard and I speak hard. But there's one thing about it. You'll go home and think about it. The prophet said if you try to soft soap it, they'll think you're pulling something over them every time. There's one thing about it. You don't never think I'm trying to pull nothing over on you. Because I'm just flat telling you what I believe. And then I don't worry about it. Let's read some of what the prophet had to say. Now, let's read what is so odd. Shall I say it that way? Let's read of something that is so odd that a prophet was saying it all the way through his ministry. And the Holy Spirit had to straighten him out about his thoughts on it. But he was given the Scripture all the time. Now let's see if we can prove that. See, that's why I thought I'd just take one message and come back and get another one. Because that's my point now. The point is, here's a man that's going to say in 55 what he says up here in 64 when he says the Holy Spirit straightened him out. But see, the Holy Spirit speaking through the man. You get what I'm saying? He didn't even understand probably a lot of times what he was saying. But what he was saying was, thus saith the Lord. So all right, let's go back here and just go backwards and forth and just weave it and just see. Let's go into 1955. Power of Decision, paragraph E65. God said, these signs shall follow them that believe. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. It's a good land, said Joshua. It's a wonderful land. Joshua, you and Caleb, aren't you glad that this is a wonderful land? I am. Amen. Joshua and Caleb brought back some initial evidence that they'd been over there somewhere. I'm so glad tonight that we got the witnesses in the church tonight that's been somewhere, that's got something, that come back with the evidence of the Holy Spirit is just the same tonight as it was the day it fell on Pentecost. Now listen to that. That's why he said, I always talk through that. Make your choice. Are you going to stand with the theologians that says, well, we just can't take it. We come through the Wesley age. We come through this, but we can never stand the fanaticism. We could never stand it. Away with such stuff. God said Jesus rose from the dead. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we can take it. It's ours. We're able. Glory, hallelujah. What we need tonight is to do it. Hallelujah. It's yours. The promise is unto you and to your children, to them in Chicago, and as many as the Lord our God shall call. Freedom of choice. To me, he's the same. To me, he will keep his promise. To me, he was wounded for my transgression. He was bruised for my iniquity. Chastised for my peace. It was upon him. With his stripes, I'm healed. Now, he said, back with the evidence that the Holy Ghost is just the same tonight as it was when it fell on the day of Pentecost. He said, well, Brother Dale, it says there tonight as it was on the day of Pentecost. So in the middle, it was... Then he's not Hebrews 13:8 if it changed in the middle. You see the point of what people do with their own smart thinking? And let me say that because Josiah don't let me use that other word. Let's go to the future home. Now this is 1964-08-02. Now remember his point there. The evidence is the same. There's what we were talking about the other day. The evidence of the Holy Ghost. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the Word, not some system, but have a clear understanding. How do you know the Word's clear? Word's clear, understand. Watch it vindicate itself. Well, you say, I see this, do it, and that. Oh, yes, weeds live the same way, see, but it's got to be the entire Word. To be the bride, you have to be part of Him. He is the Word. And see, what part of Him is it? The word that's promised for this day when he calls his bride, you're a part of that. You get it? Now, don't lose that notice. He makes it a fit place to live through eternity. The evidence of the Holy Ghost is when you can receive the word. Isn't that what the scripture said? Hear the word, receive the word. He that heareth my word, and understand it. It's always been the mystery of hearing. The evidence has always been the mystery of hearing. Not the mystery of speaking, not the mystery of any kind of a fleshly manifestation. On the day of Pentecost, I don't think they was all standing there when the Holy Ghost fell. You know, glory, the Holy Ghost fell. Now, I'm not silly. I think they were shouting and hollering and screaming and having a good time. But it was after the Holy Ghost came. Because when they heard the people speak in their own language, it scared them to death. And they said, men and brethren, what must we do to be saved? Repent, every one of them, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Something they had to go make manifest to show they believed it. And when they did, the Holy Ghost fell on them. When we believe it. All right? Listen. Questions and Answers, 1964-08-23. Now, that's no evidence of the Holy Ghost. So you can't rely upon that. Now, he's talking about give fruits of the Spirit and everything. You can't rely upon the fruit of the Spirit because the fruit of the Spirit is love. And the Christian Science exercises more love than anybody I know of. And they even deny Jesus Christ being divine. See, there's only one evidence of the Holy Ghost that I know of, and that is a genuine faith in the promised word of the hour. Genuine faith in the promised word of the hour. Questions and Answers, 1964-08-23. This is that was 10:02. This is 10:04. The same thing repeats. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost when God reveals it to you and you see it. Thus saith the Lord, and accept it. Not what you are, what you was, or nothing about it. It's what God has done for you. Now, there's the evidence. And Jesus said, he give us the evidence of the Holy Ghost, John 14. He said, I have many things to tell you. I haven't got time to do it. But when the Holy Ghost comes, he will tell you, bring to your memory the things that I told you about, and will also show you things that is to come. Don't you see? There's the evidence. That's foretelling and having, foretelling and being, having the divine interpretation of the written word. Now, isn't that the evidence of a prophet? See, now he puts the evidence of a prophet. A seer in the Bible was a man that could tell, could foretell, and it'd be perfectly exactly, not somebody laid hands on him. That's a gift. A prophet is predestinated and born to be a prophet. All the whole life, it was a prophet. That's an office. That's where the people. Now, he put the office, he put the evidence of a prophet identically with the evidence of the Holy Spirit. Did you catch it? He just got to explaining the evidence of the Holy Spirit was to believe the word. Then he put it with the prophet, the evidence. Oh, we believe the prophet. We believe the prophet, but the evidence has changed. Now, where? Show me where the prophet said it changed. Show me where the Bible said it changed. Anybody out there, come. I want to be right. Show me where the prophet or the Bible ever changed the evidence of the Holy Spirit from anything other than to have the word come into your heart and be made alive and be able to receive the word of the age of Almighty God. Come and let's see. Paragraph 218, who do you say this is? 64:12-27. Is there any here that hasn't received the baptism of the Spirit yet? Now you say, Brother Branham, I tell you, I shouted one time. That's very good. I spoke in tongues once. That's very good too. But still, that ain't what I'm talking about. How can you shout and speak in tongues and deny the Word? The evidence of the Holy Ghost is believing His Word, always being, every age, if you can receive the Word. Now, that ought to be plain enough, isn't it? The evidence of the Holy Ghost is believing His Word, always being, every age, if you can receive the Word. Those priests had Jesus beat a million miles when it comes to the fruits of the Spirit. Gentle and peaceful and meek and lowly. He tore up churches, kicked them over, and tore the people out, and called them snakes in the grass and everything. But He was the Word. He was that Word. That's it. Believe God. God is His Word. Believe it. Go on down. Let's just keep reading. Does God change His mind about His Word? Paragraph 155, 1965, 4:18 in the evening. Now, you know, Thomas, one time, he just couldn't believe it. No, he said, no, can't believe that. If I could take my hand, stick it in his side, put it in the nails of his hands, well, then I'll believe it then. He said, come here, Thomas. See, now put your hands in here. Now, old Thomas said, now it's my Lord and my God. Said, yes, you've seen, now you believe. How much greater is their reward? Has never is their reward has never seen and yet believed. people sometimes won't receive the Holy Ghost unless they speak with tongues. I believe in speaking with tongues. Certainly. He's a good God. He'll give you the desire of your heart. But no matter how much you speak in tongues and deny this word, you're wrong anyhow. See, you don't go in by speaking in tongues. You go in by keeping every word. That's the evidence of the Holy Ghost when you believe the word of God. Right? Who do you say this is? 1964, 1227, paragraph 218. Is there any here that... excuse me. I'm reading the same one that I read up here, 218. I done read that one to you. Go over to Thinking Man's Filter. Preached in 1965, 822 in the evening. When you come into this world, you were born in sin. You didn't even come with a fighting change. You were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, come to the world speaking lies within your own spirit, the desire of sin, a lover of sin, because you were born in sin. You didn't have a change. But down inside of you somewhere, here you come, there was something in there that began to draw. If you knowed it was something that told you there was a God somewhere, and you read His Word, then you took the church, you took their ideas when you was told better. Listen. See, God was trying to get us. We went to church. And then you never used a thinking man's filter. But when you use God's filter, which is a thinking man's filter, because all other filters will pass away, but mine shall not. And when you take God's filter and draw your life, your desires, if you draw your desires through God's filter, a thinking man's filter, there's nothing left but the Holy Ghost. Now, if you want the evidence of the Holy Ghost, there it is. When that soul of yours will align with the Word of God in every respect, it showed you drawed your life through the thinking man's filter. This was preached after that he said this over here on Broken Cistern, that the evidence of the Holy Ghost was receiving the Word. So now what's he saying? Now he's talking about living the Word. Right? Because if we don't live the Word, we haven't received the Word. All right? Go back to 1959, 823. Palmer worm, locust, caterpillar. Oh, I'm so happy for it. My heart just rejoices, and to know that His Spirit, the Spirit that wrote the Word, agrees with the Word, proves the lifeline, and comes in and manifests itself. God be with you. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He knowed those things back there, didn't he? That what? That the Word, the Spirit will always agree with the Word. Oneness, 1962, 211. Don't Adam, Eve, Adam, let me cry out to you. Don't listen to a lie of the devil anymore. Stay with God's Word. It's thus saith the Lord. Stay with His Word. To separate from it is breaking your fellowship with God. God's oneness by the Holy Spirit. And if you say you got the Holy Spirit and it's not in agree with the Word, then you're not oneness with God. Now that's back in 1962. He was back there on the other. So let's do what he says here now. Let's follow what he said. This is God's oneness when you, the Spirit that you got, agrees with this Word and manifests this Word and makes this Word power to act the same way it did there. All right. Now let's say it together here in Lula. All right. So now let's say it together. Oneness with God is to have God's Spirit in you agreeing with the Word, all the Word, the whole Word, and to make it manifested in power. There you are. That's oneness with God. When that power works in me, works in you, we are one. Amen, Brother Kidd. When the power of the Holy Ghost in me works in you, there's no disagreement. The Word's there. It works. Amen. It makes it what it is. God made flesh in you by His Word. The Word made power among you. Every word. The evidence has always been the same in every age, the prophet said. So why deal with tongues and shoutings and cryings and things? And I am not against that. I believe in that. I believe some people, when they got the Holy Ghost, they did, you know, after the Holy Ghost came in, they did speak in tongues. That's fine. I believe people, after they got the Holy Ghost, shouted. Some cried. But it was after they received the Holy Ghost, then you start dealing with the evidence. We talk about tongues. I went and bought some shoes. The tongue was in the shoe. That's fine. In the body of Christ is 9 spiritual gifts that we believe in. I firmly believe in all of the gifts. I have never spoken in tongues myself, but I believe in speaking in tongues. But you can have impersonations and all kind of garbage that goes along. Like the brother came here speaking in Spanish, and a lot of them said he's speaking in tongues. I said he ain't doing nothing but worshiping God in Spanish. Hurt his feelings. But he had to come back later and admit it. Because there in the Bible, it was not just blabbering. It was speaking in tongues. The prophet said, languages. Because they understood. When you're speaking in tongues without a language, you're supposed to be speaking to God. That's the scripture. You want the prophet's words? You can pray and cry and speak in tongues and talk to God. Because the Spirit giveth utterance. But when you're in the congregation, you're supposed to have somebody to interpret that. If not, you hold your peace. But when you're shouting and crying and speaking in tongues yourself, that's between you and God. That doesn't have to be interpreted. Even though the prophet said sometimes people would speak in tongues and then interpret their own tongue. He said that's scriptural. But we want evidences of this or evidences of that. We say, well, the evidence, Brother Dale, is whether or not you come in the message. Now, show me that. It's not whether or not you come in the message. It's whether or not the message is in you. It's whether or not the Spirit in you can keep on agreeing with the Word. You might not agree with my attitude and my ways and my presentation. You know. You might think that you could do a whole lot better job, and I'm sure you could. But I'm sorry God didn't call you for that. I'm really sorry. I wish you had been called, and I wouldn't have the gray hairs I've got. I wouldn't have to be studying to try to find a message. I would be just reading to have a glorious good time. But you see, God didn't predestinate it like that. He predestinated where there'd be an old hard head. They would be up here screaming and hollering at you to try to get you to follow the word of the hour and to believe the message of the hour. Now you tell me you got the evidence of the Holy Ghost and you'd rather read anything beside the Bible. Now I didn't say reading anything was wrong. I read the paper. I read the funnies. I'd read. That's fine. So did the prophet read a lot of things. But this one is the one that's supposed to be the truth. The rest of it can be any kind of problems. Because they tell you in the newspaper one day, we got plenty of fuel and the prices is going down. And about 2 weeks later, the prices goes up. And somebody says, well, we don't have any. Well, somebody ought to get together. See? But the Bible never changes. This prophet's message was identically in the Scriptures because that's where he got it from, because that's what it is. And that way, then you don't have the evidence in one age and evidence in another to be different. The evidence has always been the same. It's whether or not that Spirit in you keeps on agreeing with that Word. Sure, you can sympathize, the prophet said, with it for a while. People come in the message and stand for years, and then all at once you see them fall away. Now, don't tell me that the Holy Ghost. Well, I was there when they shouted. I was there when they cried. That don't have nothing to do with it. But Brother Dale, you don't believe in emotionalism. I believe in it a whole lot more than you do. a whole lot more than you do. But I don't put the emphasis on that. I put the emphasis on that on one thing. Emphasis up on one point. If the spirit that's in me ever disagrees with this word, ever denies what the prophet said, I know it's the wrong spirit. And I do not have the evidence that every church age had. I hope you understand. I went fast, I know. Because surely we know all of this. The order to understand this. The seven spirits of God has been the Holy Spirit working down through seven church ages. And the evidence has always been the same, whether or not you can go and follow the message of your age. Martin Luther's, the evidence in his day was whether or not people would believe and walk and manifest the just shall live by faith. Azusa Street was whether or not the people agreed and went on with the gifts, because the gifts would show that the giver is there. It wasn't just speaking in tongues. Talk to Brother Harris. Talk to some of these brothers that come down through some of that Pentecost. There's a lot of Pentecostal people that tell you in a hurry if you speak in tongues that you're wrong, and turn around and teach the evidence that speaking in tongues is the Holy Ghost. Because they'll tell you that that wasn't right. Because some of them knew the difference. Because they know there was something wrong. In their own spirit, there was something wrong that person was speaking in tongues but wasn't right. Brother Branham one time told a man to stop praying for people in the prayer line. Can we find that one for you? Because a man was putting his hands on the people. And Brother Branham said, you stop it, that's wrong. See, he knew there's something wrong with that man's spirit. You don't see me do a whole lot of putting hands on people. Well, it's just your mind. Well, okay. That's fine. But you don't see me doing like a lot of people do, grab people and hug them up. And I don't do it. Why? Too much opportunity for Satan. But see, church, I believe in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The new birth is the birth of the Word. Always been in every church age, the birth of the Word of the age that they lived. I believe the evidence is that Holy Ghost bringing you to an understanding of the messenger of the age of what he's preaching. And then you can glory, hallelujah. Thank God for the revelation. Thank God for faith. Revelation. The revelation to know that I'm not dependent upon anybody. I'm dependent upon Jesus Christ. People say, I believe everything Brother Branham said. Brother Moat was telling one time about a lady that, when Brother Branham had preached, you know, that the White Horse Rider was the Holy Ghost there in the 60 series, and then preached later that it was the Antichrist, you know. She said, I believed him both times. See, that sounds good, doesn't it? Well, that sister, she just believed Brother Branham. That's right. She just believed Brother Branham. She didn't believe God. Because the evidence of the Holy Ghost is whether or not that Spirit in you will keep on leading you to the Word. Then that'll give you something to stand on. You won't be waiting for feelings to decide whether it's the Holy Spirit or not. You know how I check you? The old Pentecostals, you know, I've heard a lot of them talk about, they look them in the eye, you know, I'm discerning your spirit. You know how I discern Brother Ryan's spirit? You know that I've discerned his spirit and find it, I believe it's true? You know why? Because he's tried his best to walk in this word. Contrary to his teaching, contrary to his family, contrary to everything, he's tried to follow the message of the hour. That's the way I check your spirit, to see whether or not you agree with the word. If you agree with the word, you don't go out and live like the devil. Now, we're going to get on that Sunday. You don't go out and live like the devil and claim the message. You know yourself that these people in this message would scream and holler and cry and die for the message, but wouldn't go to church Sunday for nothing. Or be like the man that Brother Ernie told about that led him into the message. You remember Brother Villanueva explaining about the man that led him into the message? And how did he got down to talk to the man and went off for a ride and come back? And Brother Ernie said, you've been out smoking dope. He had to get some kind of a spirit, you know, working through dope before he could talk. That's a pretty hard knock, you know, to get over. Brother Ernie had to get over a lot to do that. I hope he hears this. To get over that, he had to... It had to be God leading him. Because the evidence is the same. Whether or not the Spirit in you will reveal the message of the hour unto you. Well, Brother Dale, I believe everything Brother Brandon says. I've talked to people like that that would swear about it. I've had them to pat me on the back. I've had them to punch me in the stomach. And everything, Brother Dale, I'll be with you to the end. In less than 2 weeks, he was gone, calling me the devil. Well, somebody's evidence changed. You know? Because I'm still the same. And I still believe the same. So something went wrong somewhere. That's not my problem. That's other people's problem. So I'm just trying my best to get you to see the message of the hour. And if that Holy Spirit is in you to keep leading you to that message, that's the only evidence that I know is true. All the rest Satan can impersonate. But he can't impersonate the opening of the Word. Oh, sure, he can make it look so good. We were in a meeting one time years ago. Come on, Brother. Hey, Brother Boyd. We were in a meeting years ago with a certain brother in this message, a big man, and he had preached a message. You've heard me tell about it on the fourth seal, and boy, he had really made a great message about the fourth seal. Brother Moe simply walked up to him, and he said, Brother, he said, where did them forces come from for that fourth seal? He said, where did Brother Branham say they come from? He said, I don't know. But yet he was telling all about Russia and China and how this was coming and that was coming. And he said, I don't know what Brother Branham said about it. Brother Moat said, well, he said on the fourth seal that it was the Protestants and Catholics coming down. First after the bride, before that goes on into the literal Armageddon, and then coming down after Israel. It just shocked a man because, see, he had never read. And that was in the seal book. And he was probably sitting there when Brother Branham preached that in the seal message. See, that's what got me when I come in the message, to be able to quote Brother Branham just a little bit, and then people would say, where's that at? Where'd Brother Branham say that? I said, it's in the message. So and so. Well, I just heard that tape. You might have heard that tape. If you didn't hear it, I just got where I'd bring a book and just lay it down. They couldn't argue about it. Because you see, I've got one evidence, folks. Whether I'm right or wrong, I tell you what I am. That what's in me has kept me and directed me in this Bible through the message of the hour and turned my heart to this word. That's my evidence. That's my Holy Ghost. To have a clear understanding, the prophet said. Of course, you got them out there that say it. Beware of them that have the answer for everything. So I just conned one, beware of them that don't have no answers at all. But church, I've got one evidence. This is my Father.
Amen.
Now, I don't mean just letters on a page. I don't mean just hold a Bible up and say, this is my Father. I mean the Word has come off of the pages of this Bible into my heart. That's my new birth. See, that's why I believe you are being born again, because your new birth didn't stop when you got the Holy Ghost. It just then started revealing the Word. And when we leave this world, we'll be walking on the Word. That's why I believe in faith like I do. Faith is a revelation. You're born again by faith. A reality. Let's stand. Go ahead. 224 in the Red Book.
Stand by.
Loving, he leads the way. You're right. Do you believe that? And with each breath, anybody have a need? I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with me each day. With him or me? Which one is it now that we walk with? Do we walk with one another? Right? We walk with one another in the Word, don't we? Someday, the last will be taken. Our sister's going down to see Brother Al. We're going to send him a prayer cloth. Because we believe it, don't we? These prayer cloths have been anointed, but we anoint it with oil and we pray over it. So let's pray together. Father, our brother, Lord, called and asked us to pray for him, and we already have. But now we send this prayer cloth as a contact between us all, that the little body of Jesus Christ is crying out for his healing, that they told him he's got pneumonia. Father, we pray that you would take away all of the symptoms, all the problems and everything, because we believe it in Jesus' name. Why, he never changes. He's always the same. It's what you believe. Because that's a revelation. When God quickens the Word, makes a revelation in you. Faith. The new birth. I trust in God, no matter come what may. For life eternal is in his hand. He holds the key that opens. Praise him and we thank him. Father, thank you for being with our brother and making him feel better. We just lay our hands there knowing that we agree with thy word, that by your stripes he's healed. Thank you. Thank you for your love and your grace. Thank you for you, Father, that would touch a mortal. For none of us are worthy of your grace and your love, but yet you made it manifest that we could believe it and receive it, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother said he was feeling better. We believe it. We believe it. Like I said about Sister Peggy, she went in. Let the doctor tell you. Let him testify that something's happened. Let him testify. That way we... See, that goes on and helps the senses of the person to believe more when the doctor agrees. Do you love him? And I lift my voice to worship. Oh, my soul, rejoice, take joy, my King. In what you need, may it be a sweet, sweet sound in your. You love him? I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you. Oh, my soul. Isn't it nice to have an evidence that will fit every one of our brothers and sisters? You see where I just had to cut off? What about an evidence? What about a same Holy Ghost? And we think about those people down through there. What about the Apostle Paul? I read you the quotes where the prophet said the same Holy Ghost that was with Paul is the same Holy Ghost tonight. The evidence is the same. You know what Paul's evidence was? The Spirit in him agreed with the Word. The Spirit in him brought him to an understanding of God's Word. See, I can now relate to every one of them. Every one of them down through the ages. You think about those in the dark ages that come down. And they cut women open and took the babies out and fed them to the hogs and things. And killed people. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs. But I can relate to every one of them, Sister Gail. That's my brothers and sisters. That's the people who paved the way. They had to die to pave the way that the Word could come and live. See why I'm so happy? Because every one of my brothers and sisters in glory tonight is hollering, Amen. That's the same Holy Ghost. That's the same evidence of the Holy Ghost that I had, that I was fed to the lions and it took care of me. You see, this is the hard age. The hard age of it all, because we've got to overcome all of the doctrinal issues and things that are contrary to the revealed Word. And yet still keep ourselves straight and in line with God. Oh, my brothers and sisters down through time, they're waiting on you and I to walk into the message, the hour that we believe in, and pull them out of the grave. And tell them, same God that saved you, Brother Paul, saved me. same faith you had, I have. That's something, folks. Hallelujah. Just think about it. See, the same Holy Ghost that justified the Lutheran, sanctified the Methodist, baptized the Pentecostals, are now setting in order the coming of the Lord. See, the way people preach it, they make something one time and something else other time, up and down. And that wouldn't make a body. You take any part of my body, whether it be a finger, a toe, a kidney, or a heart, and you can check the DNA, and it's all the same. You know? See, we've got a DNA tonight that fits all of the believers. Fits all the believers in the Word. Fits everything that has ever been preached in the Bible. That's the new birth. The three most valuable things in the world, gold, silver, diamonds, doesn't compare to our Savior, right? Sing it unto Him. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. And nothing I desire. One more time before we go. Think about Him. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Do you believe it? Just raise your hands to Him and just thank Him. If Sister Peggy can raise her hand when she had to push her shoulder up, why can't we worship Him and believe? Believe it. Father, now we don't want to go home. Lord, to just think that the same Spirit that we have tonight is the same Spirit that started on the day of Pentecost. The same evidence we have tonight is the same evidence on the day of Pentecost. We love you, Father. We're sorry. We've not been worthy children. We let Satan enter our mind and our thoughts. But we thank you that you've never changed. We can depend upon what you say. Forgive us of our failures. Cleanse us. Help us to walk in you. Bless the people on the way home. Give everybody a safe journey. You said you sent your word and healed us. May every person, Lord, that's in here tonight that has any sickness, may they at this moment place it upon the revealed word of Almighty God.
Hallelujah.
And say, thank you for my healing.
Hallelujah.
Thank you for my deliverance. Thank you for all things. Lord, just have your way now. Bless and guide your little bride around the world. And Lord, as these tapes and things goes out, we pray that they would reach the ones, Father, that need you. And that, Lord, that it would be the same as it is into us to think about you. And Father, just bless each one. And guide each and every one of us. In Jesus' name. You're dismissed. Pray one prayer.